Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Yes, I just gone 7:17 Central African time, and I was telling you earlier on, a special man on a special mission, always adding value to the platform of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah. Alhamdulillah, Wednesday will be another milestone for Adam Kamda as he gets younger and younger, stronger and stronger, spiritually and physically. Adam Kamda, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and Jazakallah khair for joining us on the platform, the Marcus Sahaba, the voice of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah. Jamaah, on your segment, Fishing with Adam Kamda. How are you doing this fine, beautiful morning, my beloved brother?
Wa alaikum salam, Shafa. Just lovely to be on air again. I think you must thank the Almighty for giving me this opportunity to be on air with you, Shafa, because he made the weather so windy and rough. So I'm here on landbound, so I can chat with good signal to you. Had the weather been perfect, I would have been out at sea again. Although, having said that, we fished the entire day yesterday, and so it's stomach full and aching muscles at the moment, Shafa.
I tell you, you know, you are simply addicted to the ocean, addicted to the seas, and also to your fishing. I mean, what would you do without fishing, Adam? That's basically like, you know, you spent half your life fishing.
Yes, Shafad, I'm happiest either on the water or near the water. So I'm blessed to live on the water's edge in an apartment on the 10th floor, so I can view the waves every morning. I can watch the sunrise every day. I can enjoy my hobbies of photography, try and capture the perfect moment and share it with all my friends and fans, Shafad. I've got lots of followers on social media, from fishermen to charter skippers to surfers, paddle skiers. So, alhamdulillah, I'm able to share photography through social media and share a bit of my passion as well. And as you know, I love fishing. It's my hobby. It's my business. It's my life, Shafad. And it's through fishing that I've met so many people. And even this weekend has been quite an adventure for me. I was invited to fish on the North Coast. And, you know, when I arrived at this resort, it turns out that I know all these guys. I know the owner of the resort and his son. They are both top skippers. They've come to my shop, although they're all the way from Tugela, an hour's drive, but they shopped at my shop. And then I met his brother-in-law, who is from Malvern, which is just next door to to Amsterdam. And he grew up supporting us as well at the spare shop and at the fishing tackle shop. So it was familiar faces all around. And it's amazing how much you can bond with fishing, Shafad. If you share that common passion for the ocean, then, you know, you're friends for life.
I tell you, Adam, you know, you're a celebrity already. I mean, you know, not only amongst a certain community, a certain group, but everyone, you know, Rainbow Nation, you're really a Rainbow Nation man, and, you know, people from different groupings, different persuasions, all your, you know, fans and your friends, alhamdulillah. And as you said, you know, I think the important thing is keeping that clean heart. I don't think Adam Kamda has an enemy, because everyone simply loves him. Because, you know, you're not a toxic person, because if there's a toxicity, yeah, you just walk away and look at your ocean and say, hey, come and cleanse this out. Be like a washing machine. Clean all this thing out. Talk to us, Adam.
Yes, 100%, Shafad. You know, being fisherman, you're an eternal optimist. You're always standing there with the line in the water and, you know, hoping for the best. And even if the weather is miserable, you still find something positive about it. Like, the weather is so cold and windy today, but angler will still go to the water and say, no, the water will be warm and the fish will be feeding today. So let's have a throw. And Shafad, the thing about fishing is I take every opportunity to teach, you know, whoever is new to the sport. I show them whatever I know, you know, and most of my friends are open with information and share freely. And it's about teaching and learning. And yesterday it was learning for me, as much as I've been fishing all my life. But the amount of stuff I learned from these guys yesterday at Tugela was unbelievable. Firstly, I was invited there by Riaz Hussein and Molana Sayed Ziai. They told me that, you know what, you have to experience the fishing on the North Coast. And as much as Tugela is such a popular destination with my customers, I had never fished there before as well. And then they introduced me to Jan and Junior Jan, his father and son team. They're both running the Labotus caravan park there. So it's such a perfect location. they've got accommodation, they've got the boats there, they have a tractor, and you can book a campsite or a chalet, and it's just a 50-meter walk from the resort down on the sand. You basically walk right onto the beach. So you can, even if you're a day visitor, you can book a campsite, you can keep all your stuff there safely. You can, it's the, an amazing spot for surf fishing, if that's your cup of tea. But if you want to experience deep sea fishing in a really pristine grounds, they've got a boat available and a professional skipper to take you out as well.
Well, you said all the botters. Are they surnamed Botters?
You know, the Labotus fish is quite a unique fish in South Africa. It's also called the triple tail, and it's quite prized by anglers, and they come out at certain parts. They are there throughout the year, but they seem to be caught through a certain season. And that area is noted for that Labotus triple tail fish, Shafati.
Well, I can hear my our listeners saying, hey, Shafati, the Molanas are going to that spot. Can Adam please give us some contact details? We'd like to go there too. Adam, some details about...
Molana himself is handling bookings for the charters, and you can contact Jan. So Molana's number is 076-863-5150. And if you want to contact Jan, who can help you with bookings on the boat and accommodation at the resort, Jan's number is 084-549-8210. And the Labotus Caravan Park has got a beautiful website as well, with lots of pictures and information about the resort, information about the area, distance from Durban. It took us just over an hour from Durban, and we made a day trip of it. We were up from 2:45 in the morning, got ready, made our way, met Molana and them, and we traveled together to Tugela. Fished the entire day, came back, relaxed at the resort, had some cold drinks and some food. And I must say, Riaz provided the most amazing roti rolls. You know, there's always food on the boat when we're around Chapat. It was fish roast chutney rolled in rotis, and the other one was mince with methi rolled in rotis. And absolutely delicious. And you know, when you're out at sea really early, Shafaz, you're like, my friend Nish is down from Cape Town, so the two of us left from there. But without breakfast, we just had a cup of coffee. So by around 9 o'clock, we were pretty hungry, but the fish were biting so well, you don't even think of food. But when that Tupperware came out, we really demolished Shafaz.
Yeah, I tell you, when you said the mince and the methi on a roti, hey, rolled. I just took out my lime pickle now, but I noticed I didn't have the roti and mince here and all that awesome fish roll chutney. That's it's the food that you do describe now is the ideal food for the weather like this. So yesterday, I had some salad made with mash and peas, mixed veg with it. I tell you, that was divine. I really enjoyed that. But alhamdulillah, you know, really getting into things here. Adam, people are catching a lot of bronze bream and shads, and people talking shad everywhere. It seems like they forgot the sardines, Adam.
Yes, well, sardines hit us with a bang. The netters were netting full nets, and then suddenly when that storm came and all the rivers flowed out, it came to an abrupt halt. I think most of the pilot shoals that had reached us were pushed far out to sea. My friend Ghulam is still scouring the ocean daily. when it's too rough on the south coast, he's here, at South Beach. I spoke to him yesterday. He always has such an excited voice. He told me the fish are moving fast from the south coast, coming past Pumula, coming past Winkelspreet. So they'll be in our waters today and tomorrow. But it's just a matter of whether they come close enough to the back line for the netters to be able to reach. But having said that, as much as he was excited yesterday, but today there's onset of a cold front in Durban. Those are southwesterly winds which blows offshore. So even these shoals might get pushed a bit offshore. But you never know, Shafaz. Sometimes sardines look for a bit of shelter in the basin area here in Durban between the harbor entrance and Namgini. So this is the hunting grounds of Ghulam Isaac. And inshallah, he'll be blessed with some good nets in the next few days.
No, absolutely. And inshallah, one day we must try and get his voice on Marqa Sahaba, the voice of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, because on this segment, I like to hear that voice too. As you said, it's an excitable voice. You know, he is also, you talk about him on his escapades always from the Durban beachfront. But the complaints here in the Sepingo Beach is that, you know, why so many years have gone by that the sardine is not beaching in the Sepingo Beach. And perhaps, you know, you as a fundi of the ocean, what could some of the reasons be why the sardines are giving us a miss? Before, in the yesteryear, they made sure that they beach themselves in Sepingo Beach. Adam?
Yes, Shafad. You know, it's sometimes you're always trying to point a finger or trying to find the fault or trying to find the reason. But this is nature, Shafad. You know, it's so variable. It's like when a fisherman goes out to sea, no matter how knowledgeable you are, no matter what tackle you have, if the fish don't want to cooperate, there's nothing you can do. And then you think of all possible excuses, or it's the atmospheric pressure, it's the current, it's the water temperature, it's the color of the water. So it's the same with sardine shafaj. You know, it's just a natural phenomenon. They come past every year. Sometimes we say, no, it's a blank year. It's a blank year for the netters because they didn't come close enough. But the sardines are still there. They still follow their life cycle. So it's just a matter of patience and, you know, your good luck that they would come and beach naturally. You'd remember from your younger days, from your parents' days, they would say, oh, the sardines came and beached and everyone ran into the water or whatever. That could still happen. It's a natural thing. It's just a matter of patience. And inshallah, in the days ahead, maybe this year, maybe next year, who knows, they will come so close and on so many beaches, it'll seem like, oh my God, this is unbelievable.
No, absolutely, and I thank Allah we experience that. I was just the other day, Leonard Pillay, you know, he's the whole ancestry. They were into fishing, and he said, hey, how's it, chef? You must come down. And I said, hey, Lenny, you're still giving me the whole crate of sardines that you promised me. He started laughing. He said, you know, when we get caught in that frenzy, we forget what promises we make. But, you know, it happens all the time. And, you know, what about, you know, you spoke so eloquently about patience. And what about that fisherman? You know, he goes, he has a special favorite spot on the shoreline where he fishes from. And when he gets there and someone has taken his spot, yeah, you know, what goes through a mind of a fisherman that, you know, someone else has taken his spot? And, you know, sometimes they have this sense of ownership of that spot, but it's taken by someone else. What happens? Talk to me about that phenomena, Adam.
Yes, Shafad. As much as I say fishermen are patient people, but sometimes you really see their true colors when you test them. And especially during a shad run, Shafad, you know, when the shad are biting in a frenzy and everyone is running forward to cast their lines, and everyone's bunched up because the shad are holding in a specific spot, and you need to throw over that particular wave to get to the fish. And then people are crossing lines and banging their rods against each other's rods, and you know, tempers can flare. And even as you mentioned, you know, people become territorial over a certain spot. But you must realize that, you know what, this is a these beaches are public spaces, and it's there for everyone. So the person who gets there earliest, I suppose he has somewhat of a right to be there, but it's also good for him to be courteous and let him, you know, come and catch next to you, as long as you understand what's going on. And especially the problem is with beginners, you know, they don't understand the rules, they don't understand the etiquette, so they would come, they'd cast and cross people's lines, and then people would get angry. But even those experienced anglers must be tolerant of that and, you know, explain to them gently the correct way to do it. And maybe the beginners can start from the edges, you know, where there's less fishermen, and work their way into the center of the action as they get more experience about it.
You know what I think, I'm thinking about, Adam? You know these puddles in Sepingo Beach, especially in the Mackenzie, you know, you get those lovely puddles. You could go in and you can look at the different tiny fish and so forth. Even we had the eels and all playing in the puddles there. So I used to go there every Saturday, you know, with my kids and family, and then go and enjoy the puddle. Like, you know, I made it like my own. Once or two times some people came there and I felt, hey man, you're intruding. And at that time, you know, you get so used, as you say, territorial, that you say, don't intrude. I mean, this is my private spot and all that. But, you know, we should remember that it's a public space, and, you know, you need to behave in a manner that will accommodate everyone, Adam. And how do you do that?
Yes, Shafat, my space is my boat. You know, when I go out on my boat, it's like I'm the king of my boat. And it's the same thing when you book a charter, like, for example, if you go with Southern Star, You can take five of your friends. They take five people on board and a skipper and usually a ghillie. And that's your space. You know, it's booked, it's yours, and it's reserved, and you have exclusivity. You keep all your catch. As much as the skipper knows the grounds well, you can even tell him, you know what, I want to fish shallower, I want to fish deeper. Depends on your skill. Usually, you know, people love to start off fishing shallow, and if they're catching good fish, that's fine. But if fish are a bit scared, they want to go deeper for bigger fish. So that's your space, Shafad. So as much as, you know, we all run to the public beaches and fight for that prime spot. But here you have the opportunity to book your space, and that's perfectly exclusive and perfectly accepted as well, Shafad.
Maybe some are saying, far from the maddening crowd. Yeah, they, Adam gave you a tip how to get away from the maddening crowd. I'm looking at a message from Salim. He says, Assalamu alaikum. I really look forward to this program, my brother Shafat and Adam. He's simply one of the best. He says, Adam Kamdar, filth on the beaches, a plastic all over, and a cat walking with trace and hook in its mouth. What's happening? Are there people so selfish that they are causing so much of harm to nature? And to a poor cat that is now suffering. Adam, have you seen scenes like this?
Yes, Shafar, the cat would have the trace in its mouth because there might have been some bait left on that hook, and either it was discarded or it broke off and washed to shore. So that's really unfortunate. It often happens to birds as well. The important thing here, Shafar, is if you're a fisherman and you're done with your trace, make sure you roll it up, put it in your bag, take it back home and dispose of it properly. Because sharp hooks are hazard, besides to animals, to human beings walking on the beach as well. But this is a universal problem, Shafat. Litter is such is so ingrained in the culture of South Africa, it's unreal. They need to take an example of places like Singapore overseas, where there's huge fines for even throwing a little cigarette butt or even a chewing gum on the street. And you know, and also in terms of training from a young age in preschool and schools, you know, to let the children grow up with a feeling of cleanliness and healthiness for the environment, so that you know they don't develop bad habits of just discarding things into the streets. One of my biggest pet peeves, Shafat, is people throwing litter out of the windows of cars. And it always happens in front of me, and it really makes my blood boil, Shafat. So I'm an advocate of education and teaching people, you know, not to litter and to protect our environment.
Yeah, absolutely. And alhamdulillah, everything that you do is, mashallah, so Sharia compliant, and your mannerism and cool, calm and collected. Looking at another message here, Babu says, Adam Kamdar, this week we got this click when we were fishing. Law enforcement came and they were checking our catch. And believe it or not, a lot of my brazos ran for cover. But then there was a roadblock and many got caught and the others were fined quite sternly spoken to. But I wondered what these officials knew about fishing, because they looked like to me they were only after our bucks and to spoil our fun. Adam, your reaction, because law enforcement's checking up people, I think more because of the shad catches. You allowed only four shads, isn't it?
Yes, Shafat. I've seen an article where law enforcement was doing inspections at shad place down the south coast and catching anglers with more than the bag limit. So there's two sides to the story. Anglers must admit that, you know, they have to follow the law. You know, there's no two ways about it. If there's a bag limit of four fish, then you must catch a maximum four fish and then leave the fishing grounds or target another species. If it's minimum 30 centimeters, make sure it's, you know, your fish is more than 30 centimeters to keep it. If it's less, you got to release it. That's black and white. There's no discussion. And if law enforcement catches you with undersized fish or over the bag limit, you have to accept that you did wrong and pay the fine. You know, there's no two ways about it. So there's no way the fishermen should complain that law enforcement is there. Law enforcement can walk up and down the beach. If you're compliant, you've got nothing to worry about. That's my opinion. But the other side of the coin, Shafat, is a little bit controversial. My personal feeling is that why does DAF, which is in charge of fishing, forestry, and the environment, looking at soft targets of fishermen and just cornering them and saying, you know what, we're watching them, we can see them catching a lot, let's go and find them and lock them up, etc. why do they not lift a finger when the rivers are spewing sewage into our ocean and polluting, killing the environment, killing the fish, and even harming us human beings who enjoy the ocean? That's my query, Shapad. So don't just focus on the stock targets, that's the fishermen, but go for the you know, the big cats, the guys sitting in the offices who are in charge of sewage treatment and water treatment, etc. And make some arrests, set some examples, and let them get the gears in motion to correct the problems. And this problem is not new. It's been going on for years and years and years. And we keep saying April floods because of that and whatever, and no funds. But, you know, it's critical. We should never, ever let raw sewage flow into the ocean. It's always treated and neutralized before it goes. And that's where I think we are slipping, Shapad.
Yeah, in other words, you know, we can see how incompetent they are in certain things. They're very selective in what they do, and they look for the easy way out, and just to say, and plus get headlines. I mean, as you said, you read that in a newspaper somewhere. So they make sure that the newspaper is there to photograph them and, hey, see what we're doing. So our, you know, the government can see we're at least doing some work and so forth. Well, earlier on, you know, this week, you sent me an article that said, getting smashed fishing off the bluff, deep sea fishing, Durban, South Africa. What was that all about, Adam?
Yes, Shafar, that was an exciting trip. I usually do like morning trips out from the Durban harbor for like about 4 hours. We launch at 6 and stop fishing at about 10. And we went out with my friend Skalk and Lionel. They both filmed the trip. And the boat published them on YouTube and getting phenomenal views. One is on Fishing Durban, and the other one is on WR Fishing, Shapad. So it's amazing, exciting fishing off Durban right here, Shapad.
So your favorite fishing spot would be off Durban then, not off Aronian Rocks and so forth. Adam?
You know, Shapad, I was just discussing with some of my friends that I fished in some destinations overseas, and you know, the real pristine places that you would assume fishing would be easy, you really have to put a lot of effort to get to the fish. But we are so blessed here, Shafa'at, such an abundance of fish. If we go south just to the bluff, we fish the fence line area. You can drift with live bait there and catch kuta. You can trawl with fillets and catch Natal snook. Just around the corner on the north side, we fished opposite Mabida Stadium, which is just about a mile or two away from the harbor entrance. And we got queenfish and kuta. And then just further down by Blue Lagoon, you'll catch garrick and you'll catch queenfish again. Then coming back straight out of the harbor about 2 miles, is the entire number one grounds, which is a whole series of reefs and produces anything from kuta to sailfish to amberjacks. So, you know, sometimes we're always looking far away, but the blessings are right here on our doorstep as well. And we're so blessed to have access to this fishery, Shafar.
Now, as you said, the blessings are right there at our doorsteps, and alhamdulillah, you can just get your fish there and then. And alhamdulillah, you know, as you said, you got your space, you got your team, and you know, you're happy with those friends that are around you. And you know, did you find people pestering you, saying, Adam, when you're going next, I want to come, and in the back of your mind say, hey, no, not this guy again, Adam?
Yes, yeah, Shafat, you know, the videos that we put out are so professionally done. I mean, Willem has been doing it for a long time. He puts amazing graphics into it and subtitles sometimes, and it looks so tantalizing and inviting. I often get customers say, Adam, when are you taking me? When's my turn next? And I always give them hope, you know, Shafar. I say, you know what, when I get a cap, I'll invite you. And my intention is to do that. So I've got my regular crew of fish with me, but whenever there's a space, like about a week ago, my cousin from Maritzburg, you know, was down in Durban unexpectedly, and he phoned me up and said, you know what, if you got a space, I'd like to go fishing. And it just so happened there were three of us on the boat, so I had a space for one. And he came out with me, had such an amazing time. Fishing wasn't as phenomenal as it normally is, but for him, he's used to, you know, freshwater fishing and bass fishing. So to be out at sea, and he's a birder as well and a photographer, so, you know, identifying all the birds that are coming past and, you know, catching the fish. Skalk was on board and showed him how to catch a bonito on a spinning tackle. And he loved it so much that yesterday he came to the shop and he bought, you know, his own setup for a very versatile rig that he could use spinning in the shore as well as using it in the freshwater dams, Shepard. So I always try and take people out, especially youngsters, especially people who haven't fished before or haven't been to sea. I get a real kick and a real thrill out of giving someone an experience for the first time, Shepard.
Bless me indeed, and making others also happy. Perhaps when you say selfless indeed, our Adam Kamda. Well, Adam, you got a recipe for us this morning, and I'm looking forward to that Malai fish kebab recipe. Bismillah, Adam.
Yes, Shafat, since it's my birthday this week, we're having a braai for breakfast from 10 o'clock onwards, and we caught fish yesterday. So what better than to do a recipe with fish on the braai? So we're going to do, it's not the traditional spicy one, we're going to do a Malai fish kebabs on skewers. So you start with your vegetables, you prep your vegetables, you can slice up some zucchini, cube some onions, and some bell peppers. You season this with salt and pepper and put it aside. Then you prepare your fish. You cut it into blocks. Season this with salt and pepper and set it aside. Then you prepare your marinade. To a bowl, you add melted butter, salt and pepper, garlic powder, Dijon mustard, lemon juice, fresh cream, and some Italian dried herbs. Give this all a good mix. Add your seasoned fish to this bowl, and combine it properly, and let it set for about 30 minutes. Then you arrange the fish and the veggies on the skewers, alternating. So a little bit of veggies, then the fish, a block of fish, and a little bit of the veggies, etc. You make all your skewers. You can let this sit in the fridge for like 15 minutes, and then as you grill it on the braai, you must continue to baste it with melted butter as well. And just at the end, give it a nice squeeze of lemon and serve it with your favorite flatbread, Shafat.
Hey, I tell you, finger looking good there, Adam. And you know what? I'm going to make a special dua for your special day, your Janamdin. My dua is that Allah keep you, Allah bless you, give you health, wealth, and strength and power, and your spirituality, you know, as deep as the ocean. And that is the dua from me. And I'm sure all the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah, will join me in making the dua for you. So, Adam, that's my present. Can you feel it? It's coming to you very strongly.
I mean,
like
thank you. Thank you so much.
Current, Adam.
Thank you so much for those wonderful words, Shafar. Much appreciated.
And you look after yourself. And Alhamdulillah, enjoy the rest of your day there at Labutus Caravan Park, Adam.
Thanks so much, Shafar. Thanks for a lovely show. And salams to you and the listeners.
Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.